WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. CBS News has learned that about 700 Marines have been put on high alert and could mobilize soon to Los Angeles. They will join National Guard troops who were sent there yesterday amid tense protests over ICE arrests. California Attorney General Rob Bonta says they're suing the administration over it.
We don't take lightly to the president abusing his authority and unlawfully mobilizing California National Guard troops.
President Trump's travel ban against 12 countries began today. CBS's Turian Small.
A lot of these places were the target of Donald Trump's ire on the campaign trail. So places like Venezuela, Haiti.
Security preparations are underway for the Army's 250th birthday celebration and parade in Washington Saturday. Matt McCall is with the Secret Service.
We are deploying thousands of agents, officers, and specialists from across the country, backed by the robust network of federal, state, and local partners.
CBS News Brief, I'm Matt Piper.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Southeastern Wisconsin is now home to the state's first large-scale battery storage facility. Stuart J. Waddles has more.
We Energies says the Paris Solar Battery Park in Kenosha County is now fully operational. The site's new battery system stores enough electricity to power more than 130,000 homes for 4 hours. Solar panels at that site have been working since last December. We Energies is leading the project with partners involved, including Wisconsin Public Service and Madison Gas and Electric.
And hurricane season started at the beginning of this month and runs through the end of November. That's a six-month-long season. And the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration predicts a 60% chance of an above-normal season to strike. NOAA thinks that there will be at least 13 to 19 named storms with winds of 39 miles per hour or more. And of those, 6 to 10 are expected to become hurricanes with winds of 74 miles per hour plus. And as for the major destructive hurricanes, Category 3, 4, or 5 strength, NOAA says we'll probably see 3 to 5 of those this season. So here's what's happening. We're still in an ENSO neutral phase, which means we're not in an El Nino pattern or a La Nina. This means the trade winds are weaker, with still well above normal ocean water temperatures. And pairing the higher heat with the weak wind shear, it'll make it much easier for tropical storms to form. Plus, there's also forecasted to be higher activity with the West African monsoon. That's where hurricanes start. NOAA says they're about 70% confident in their forecast for this hurricane season. And last year's season became the third costliest on record. It featured 18 named storms, 11 hurricanes, and 5 were major. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
The Pack says goodbye to Jair. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. ESPN, the first to report, the Packers deciding to part ways with the 28-year-old defensive back Jair Alexander. Packers president Mark Murphy confirming the story to WBAY-TV Green Bay.
Well, first of all, he's been a great player for us. Obviously, elite talent and, unfortunately just injured a lot.
Baseball, it's the Brewers and the Braves tonight in Milwaukee. The Crew losing a close one yesterday, 1-0 to the San Diego Padres. Freddy Peralta allowed just one hit through 6 innings and thought about going back out in the 7th.
For 1 second, I was thinking about it to come back, but it was good enough just to bring somebody else.
So Rob Zastrzynski took over in the 7th, and Manny Machado knocked one out of the park on him. That was the ball game. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
I mean, it was a decision that, you know, we had to talk to Freddy first, see how he felt. He was out of gas. Could we have pushed him into it? I'm sure he would have done it for us.
That's the Brewers' Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy with a few showers and thunderstorms tonight and a low in the low 50s. For tomorrow, hazy sunshine from a little smoke, warmer, highs in the mid-70s. Chances for showers and thunderstorms return Wednesday into Thursday. It's 60 right now.
On Tuesday, the Marathon High School baseball team is looking to punch a ticket to the state tournament. First, the Raiders will take on Elkmount in a Division III sectional semifinal. With a win, they would take on either Barron or Spooner in the sectional final immediately after. Coverage begins with the pregame show at 12:50, and the first pitch for the sectional semifinal is at 1 p.m. Live on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Marathon Playoff Baseball is brought to you by Marathon Park City, Four Seasons Screen Printing, Brickner's of Little Chicago, County Materials, the People's State Bank, Marathon Cheese, the Dirks Group, Marathon Family Dentistry, and the Marathon Athletic Club. It's Marathon High School Sectional Baseball, Tuesday, starting with the pregame show at 12:50, first pitch at 1 p.m. on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app.
Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we take a look at the fast-paced headlines across the nation and state. And a lighter note, Brian Van Hooker from Cracked.com will be here. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people. This is the Maggie Dawn Show.
It is this moment right now, and we need people that have wealth and access to step the hell up.
Get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
We can't take this as a country to have a leader who is so ill-informed and we look terrible.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
You got a bad sandwich at your favorite deli. What do you do about it? We can talk about whatever you want to sound off on.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth. Here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, it has been quite a weekend of news. I'm very glad to be joined by my guest co-host today, Matt Rothschild. He hosts a podcast called Wisconsin Forward. Matt, so glad to have you with us this afternoon to help make sense of what exactly it is that's going on in our country.
Maggie, I'm delighted to be with you this afternoon. It is a very delicate moment for our democracy, and we'll be diving into that.
Indeed. I know that folks are excited to get on the phones, and let's not look, forbearance is not our best friend here. Let's just get to it. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Of course, it is also on the fun side of the ledger, the Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. That is going on all this week, continuing from last week. I'll be dropping that word of the hour shortly here. In case you have been on vacation, camping, out of cell phone range, etc., what has occurred over the last Saturday, Sunday, late Friday, and now today in our country, specifically in Los Angeles, I believe... second largest city in the country, in the state of California, which is what the third or fourth largest economy in the world as a state, has been nothing short of quite frightening and extraordinary. And I don't say that in a positive sense. Let's just recap how we got here. Obviously, Donald Trump has been engaged in deportation raids. They have been spreading. They are expanding across the country. On Friday, a leader of a union who has been a longtime labor organizer, and to the extent that immigrant labor, especially in the state of California, is extensively used, he has worked to organize immigrant labor, a gentleman by the name of David Huerta. There is footage of Mr. Huerta on Friday at an ICE protest outside of a detention facility. He was protesting with a lot of other folks, and apparently he was beaten and dragged away. He's been arrested. He is still in custody, though I understand he was supposed to have a hearing today. I haven't been able to track down yet what happened in his hearing. Again, this guy is the head of SEIU in California, and he's been doing this for a long time. So this is a labor leader, an immigrant leader, at a protest exercising his First Amendment rights on Friday. He gets basically beat down and arrested by federal officials. This then sort of escalates the protest. They continue to escalate over the weekend. Now, according to numerous releases from the Los Angeles Police Department, according to the mayor of Los Angeles, as well as the governor, the protesters have been peaceful. They do believe outside agitators and just ne'er-do-wells took advantage of the protest atmosphere to set fire to some cars. Again, these things, when you have protests, there can be some outside agitators involved. But again, the Los Angeles Police Department issuing formal statements that the protests were peaceful. The mayor of Los Angeles effectively supporting that, saying we're handling this just fine. I wanted to read one of these statements from the Los Angeles Police Department. This was on Saturday morning. This was released again by the LA Police Department. Today, demonstrations across the city of Los Angeles remained peaceful. We commend all those who exercise their First Amendment rights responsibly. The LA Police Department appreciates the cooperation, blah, 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 blah. Today's events concluded without incident. However, we remain fully prepared to respond swiftly and appropriately to any potential acts of civil unrest. That was, again, Saturday afternoon. What occurred then was quite extraordinary. Again, the timeline here matters. Earlier on Saturday, without request from the governor, the mayor, or anyone else, or even LA police, the president of the United States federalized National Guard members, some 2,000 of them, under what is a provision that no one has really thought of being used in 50, 60 years. It's 10 USC section 12406. This allows the president to use National Guard troops in a protective capacity. When you look at the order that was issued by the president on, again, this was Saturday morning, it is clearly being done in extension of and in the bucket of the, quote, protective powers of the presidency, which effectively exist under English common law. They date back quite a ways. There is this statute codifying it. We're going to get into some of the details there. But this was extraordinary. Again, there was no governor request. This is not how this is done. The police, the mayor, the governor were saying, we have this under control. There's no need to send additional literal military into our streets. As anyone who knows anything about crowd management, emergency management, as well as grassroots protest, grassroots movements, protest movements, as soon as you have police show up in a highly militarized way, it generally it is known by folks that deal with crowd control to almost in all instances be like throwing a lit match into a pool of gasoline. And it can ignite and escalate things. You can take something that was, again, something to be watched and observed to ensure that protests remain safe and peaceful. And you can, again, over respond from a law enforcement, or in this case, again, military being placed onto U.S. streets facing off against U.S. citizens. That is what can escalate. And again, I challenge you to find any expert in crowd control, emergency management, or any of these sort of protest circumstances, law enforcement or military, that speaks from a position of good faith that will tell you otherwise. They simply won't. That is indeed what I believe the intention here was, to escalate matters quite quickly. And indeed, Stephen Miller, the president's top domestic policy advisor, doubled down on that, calling it an insurrection against the laws and sovereignty of the United States. Again, a message from me to Mr. Miller. People peacefully protesting the unlawfulness and the abuse of power, the deprivation of due process, the disappearing of people that are hard working, neighbors, colleagues and friends, grandmothers, kids, not dangerous criminals, by doing these mass deportation raids, which is what has started to happen in LA, raiding places of business, restaurants, other places where large numbers of immigrants are known to work. People protesting that is not an insurrection. People peacefully protesting with a small, limited amount of bad actors that are trying to agitate is not an insurrection. Stephen Miller, January 6th was an insurrection, not what was going on and what has been going on in Los Angeles. Those protests continue. The breaking news at this hour is that the president, having now, again, federalized, and I'm going to get to what that means in a moment, federalized 2,000 National Guards troops, because I know every single one of my friends that continue to serve in the National Guard, what they want to do is face off against some of their friends and neighbors who are trying to protest. That's exactly what National Guards people want to be doing, instead of defending, our actual national sovereignty. The president this hour, according to reporting by CNN, now ABC and NBC, is apparently deploying, not readying, but deploying upwards somewhere in the ballpark of 500 to 700 active duty Marines. That is active duty Marines. We're no longer talking about the National Guardsmen. The president being asked about the deployment of troops, saying, quote, there will be troops everywhere. Again, this is deeply, deeply concerning. We are through the looking glass. Matt, I just wanted to start with you, get some of your initial reactions as you saw this news unfolding over the weekend alongside every one of us.
Well, thank you, Maggie. And that was a great summation of where we are and how we got here. But this is the nightmare I think we've all been worried about. Donald Trump, gave some foreshadowing of it when he was president the first time. We saw what happened on January 6th. We've seen how he's governed over the last 3 or 4 months. He has no regard for the Constitution or for the law, for due process or for civil liberties. And it's not a accident that Stephen Miller uses words like insurrection or invasion, because that's a couple of the legal fig leaves that they're going to try to hide behind. But this really is a question of whether our democracy is going to survive or not, because Donald Trump is putting Marines in our second biggest city. And as you rightly point out, Maggie, the vast majority of the protests, and I saw a video of must have been 30,000, 40,000 people in the streets of L.A., the vast majority of those folks were nonviolent demonstrators exercising their First Amendment rights that we all should hold dear. Donald Trump does not hold them dear.
Well, he holds them dear if you're voicing an opinion in support of him. If you're voicing an opinion in opposition to him or any of his policies, then you're an insurrectionist and you need to be beat down by apparently a full battalion of U.S. Marines who did not sign up to beat down protesters, I would have to think.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is really a tough moment for our democracy, and I think we all should recognize how delicate it is. I do want to encourage people to protest nonviolently. Let's not give Donald Trump another excuse to, bring out more military into our streets. But we need to protest, and there'll be a lot of protests this weekend on Saturday on the No Kings protest day.
Yes.
Encourage people to show up for those and to show solidarity for our friends and neighbors and fellow countrymen in L.A.
I'm going to double down here on what Matt is saying to everyone. Protest. Do so peacefully. This administration is looking for any excuse to invoke martial law. That's what we're talking about. Posse comitatus is the federal law that prohibits the deployment of active duty and or National Guards people to police citizenry. Our armed services are supposed to be there to protect our country from foreign enemies, from foreign adversaries. This is what people sign up to join the military. We have an all-volunteer standing military right now. That is why people show up. They do not sign up, to beat or to be deployed in an overly aggressive positioning against people who are trying to peacefully exercise their First Amendment rights to speech and assemble. I don't care what the numbers of protesters are. There are ways to de-escalate. That is not what's happening here. So please, if you are involved in any of the many thousands of protests that are going on right now, one in Elkhorn this evening starting at 5 o'clock, please do so peacefully. You want to bring your Mexican flag? I encourage you to bring your American flag right alongside of it. We all stand in this fight together for our democracy. Your calls, my conversation with each of you and Matt will continue on the other side as well. As the Scani Summer Word to Win, I'll drop that next right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show.
Summer. It's time for Civic Media's Scani Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scani Summer.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. June is pollinator month, and some Wisconsin lawmakers have introduced a package of bills to protect our bees, butterflies, and other insects. The bills would prevent the DNR from using a class of pesticides called neonicotinoids, which are known to harm pollinators. It would also prevent retailers from labeling plants as pollinator-friendly if they've been treated with high levels of pesticides. Great Lakes fisheries could struggle under budget cuts. President Trump is pushing Congress to eliminate the entire biological research program at the U.S. Geological Survey. The ecosystem mission area monitors and conducts research on fish and wildlife populations in the Great Lakes and beyond. If passed, federal wildlife and fisheries research centers across Wisconsin would be shuttered. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into environmental issues across the state, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Matt and Air on Air.
Rick Reed is here, an economics instructor.
Remember the film, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? A driver is riding parallel to him and honking their horn saying, you're going the wrong way. And Candy and Steve Martin go, ha, 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 how do they know where we're headed? Congress and the administration are saying, this is what we're going to do for our budget. But at the end of the day, the Congressional Budget Office basically said that bill is going to create another $3.8 trillion in debt over the next 10 years.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. People across the ideological spectrum, folks that have been following politics for decades, lawyers, former judges, national security officials, sounding the alarm this Monday. One such individual is a guy by the name of Bill Kristof. He's a known conservative. Bill's been around for years and years. I'm going to get to some of what Mr. Kristof had to say because his words are unsparing. But I wanted to level set about exactly what we're talking about and how clearly this is not about peacekeeping. This is not about protecting federal property. This is not about protecting ICE officers. It's not about any of that. It's about intentional escalation to create a fig leaf of an excuse, in my opinion, to declare martial law or to move us along the line of where along down the line to where that becomes possible. And yes, Bill Kristol is whom I'm not sure who I said, but that's who I was referring to. First and foremost, the National Guard, this is state-based military forces, largely part-time folks. Again, they have full-time civilian jobs. And normally it is the case that a state's governor controls those troops. Think natural disasters. That's where you see the deployment of National Guard. Of course, guardsmen and women can be called up if we are in an active war to supplement our regular standing troops. That's what the National Guard is. Sometimes a governor will call up National Guard troops. Again, that is the governor initiating that, usually by a request into the Department of Defense, you know, into a Fox News host who has no business running the department. I digress. They ask the Department of Defense, in instances of civil disorder as well, civil unrest, again, triggered by a governor's request. They are state-based military forces. That's what you've got here. The last time a president used federal troops for domestic policing purposes was in 1992, when then-President George H.W. Bush invoked the Insurrection Act. That's when he did it, to suppress widespread rioting that broke out in Los Angeles after, of course, a jury acquitted police officer who beat a motorist, an unarmed motorist, Rodney King. But in that case, California's then governor Pete Wilson and LA's mayor Tom Bradley asked for that assistance, right? Like, that's the trick. And to point out to you, I mean, this is the only thing I need to point to, in my opinion, Matt, to make it very plain that this is all a bunch of baloney. Donald Trump, early Sunday morning, praised the National Guard on social media for a job well done, but there was not a single boot of a single National Guards person who had yet been on the ground in Los Angeles. He was, oh, I see that there's nothing going on in LA, because there wasn't overnight. The police, as directed by LAPD, had done their jobs. There was no need for this. Things were peaceful on Sunday. They have been peaceful. And again, before a single one of those National Guards persons were on the ground, Donald Trump was saying, hey, good job. I mean, what more do we need to point to know that this has nothing to do with peacekeeping at all whatsoever, Matt?
No, it's a pretext. The whole thing is a pretext, and Donald Trump was just waiting with bated breath for a pretext so he could get the military into our streets. This is what authoritarian leaders do. This is what fascist leaders do. That's who Donald Trump is, and he was chomping at the bit to make this happen, and so he seized on the overwhelmingly nonviolent protests in L.A. to have his dream come true and get the military into our streets. This was the fear that many of us had during the election, why we were begging people, please don't vote for this guy. And yet
he's
here
dangerous.
He is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Folks, if you want to join our discussion this afternoon, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. All vets and actively serving military will go to the front of the line. We're hearing from one such vet right now. Steve from Mount Horam says, as an Army vet, I see this as the beginning of a dictator. Watch Trump's last year in office. He will try and stay in office. A frequent texter, Cam from Appleton, saying his mom showed him a photo of some of the protests that she went to with my dad, and he's so proud and thankful for them, but also concerned. I agree with that. Steve from Milwaukee says this: they haven't done anything in Congress for 40 darn years over immigration. The Dems gave them an actionable bill, and now they're going to let Trump trample on people's inalienable rights. Oh, the horror. Absolutely ridiculous. Mike from Cedarburg, you've been very patient, sir. What do you have for us this afternoon? Say hi to Matt. Mike, you there? Well, we will come back to Mike, because I'll tell you what, Matt, he was on the line before we even got on air. So I know Mike's got something that he wants to say. Kirk from Madison, briefly, we got about a minute left.
also, you know, served in the Army, I distinctly remember my training for unlawful orders. I'm not an expert at this. I'm going to be watching the news tonight to see what the military experts say. But this is not the same as the what took place the last time troops were deployed. This is much different, in my opinion. Yes. And the fact that the commander, and I'm forgive me for jumping to some conclusions here, but the commander of the National Guard, I think if the tables get turned where the Democrats get back involved, they could fall under going under trial for a violation of the way this is supposed to shake down. So anybody that's served in the military, we discuss this stuff. And the idea that we're going to go on to our own is unfathomable. I mean,
yeah, Kurt, hang on. We can certainly talk more on the flip side. We're going to take care of a quick bit of business. I promised you the word of the day for the Scani text to win. It is trip. What's going on is quite a trip, T-R-I-P, to put it mildly. We continue this discussion on the other side. Remember to text that in using the app. Doesn't count if you text it in normally. Again, that word to win is trip, T-R-I-P. Matt and I will be back on the other side. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. A medicine group wants to help all first responders in the state connect with children in crisis. Lisa Hale tells us more.
When there's an accident, fire, an arrest, or situation that puts children in crisis, calming them, distracting them, oftentimes falls to the first responders. Kate Mann is the executive director of Reach a Child in Madison. Her organization supplies first responders with bags filled with books to help them connect to children in crisis.
And this is a way that we can help to comfort them and also distract them, take their mind off of the crisis at hand versus, say, a stuffed animal, which, you know, it can comfort in its own way. That doesn't really distract from the crisis. But when we can get them engaged in a book, that really helps to calm them down.
Reach a Child applies for grants and seeks donations at reachachild.org to cover all costs.
Speaking as a first responder, you know, our budgets are pretty tight and we don't have extra money to spend for books, right, to hand out to kids in crisis. So this is a wonderful tool that's provided to first responders free of charge that they can use in a proactive way when they encounter kids in crisis.
About 350 first responder groups have Reach a Child tools. Mann says it's her goal to get the bags to all 600 first responder organizations in Wisconsin.
And Democratic state lawmakers have introduced a package of bills seeking to send a message about resisting the Trump administration's agenda. Among the bills are one to withhold state payments to the federal government if the federal government withholds funding to the state. And there's another one to create guardrails on how the state submits personal information to the federal government. And another allowing the state to impose liens on federal properties in response to funding freezes. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Not sure if Steve Carell has big feet, but his shoes will be tough to fill. No one knows that more than Domhnall Gleeson, who will play the boss on a new spinoff of NBC's The Office. The paper will feature the same documentary film crew from The Office, even though it was never really featured, as they record the daily happenings of a dying local newspaper, and it will be brought to you by the same team that brought you the American version of The Office. Gleeson, the son of actor Brendan Gleeson, knows the challenges he faces. The actor said he recently received encouraging words from Carell's Office co-star, John Krasinski, who reassured the actor that he was in great hands with executive producer Greg Daniels. Daniels successfully rebooted Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant's show of the same title from the UK. Although the title is different, the challenges faced in the paper are the same faced by those who ran a fictitious paper. Company. There is no release date yet, but the paper will premiere in September on Peacock. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy with a few showers and thunderstorms tonight and a low in the low 50s. For tomorrow, hazy sunshine from a little smoke, warmer, highs in the mid-70s. Chances for showers and thunderstorms return Wednesday into Thursday. It's 60 right now.
On Tuesday, the Marathon High School baseball team is looking to punch a ticket to the state tournament. First, the Raiders will take on Elkmount in a Division III sectional semifinal. With a win, they would take on either Barron or Spooner in the sectional final immediately after. Coverage begins with the pregame show at 12:50, and the first pitch for the sectional semifinal is at 1 p.m. Live on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Marathon Playoff Baseball is brought to you by Marathon Park City, Four Seasons Screen Printing, Brickner's of Little Chicago, County Materials, The People's State Bank, Marathon Cheese, The Dirks Group, Marathon Family Dentistry, and the Marathon Athletic Club. It's Marathon High School Sectional Baseball, Tuesday, starting with the pregame show at 12:50, first pitch at 1 p.m. on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, Civic Media's Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area on what Democrats are talking about ahead of next weekend's big state convention.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are in the midst of 2 weeks of Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win statewide giveaway. You can get registered to win a prize that we give away each hour, all day long, Monday through Friday. Not each hour, but within each show. In my show, it is the 4 o'clock hour, either $100 or Brewers tickets. We do that every day, and then your text will also enter you to win one of our grand prize getaways to either Wisconsin Dells or Door County, including gas money. I think it is fabulous, a wonderful opportunity to start your summer out just right. The word to win this hour, again, just for this hour from 4 to 5 o'clock, is TRIP, T-R-I-P. Be sure that you text that in via our app that you can get for free wherever you like to get your apps from. And again, full contesting rules available at civicmedia.us. Again, that word to win this hour is TRIP, T-R-I-P. Let's get back to the news of the day. We will cover this more later this week, but some other breaking news that apparently RFK Jr. has fired every single person on the vaccine advisory board, all 17 of them. Gone. The news is just unbelievable these days. I've got great co-host with me this afternoon, Matt Rothschild. Thanks so much for being here, Matt. I have to say, on a real personal level, I'm so happy to have you with me on Mondays, because sometimes it's like, oh, what fresh hell is this? When I think about what the heck we're going to be talking about on Mondays, and I appreciate you being here with all of us to help break it down.
Well, I'm happy to be here today. It is a special serving of fresh hell today, though.
It truly is. I wanted to talk in more detail a bit about what exactly Donald Trump did. I'm not going to go into a ton of the legalities here, because it can get pretty technical. But it is really important to note that, again, this provision that he used under U.S. Code, and again, that's 10 U.S.C. section 12406, 12406, in case you're a nerd and you like to read this stuff, about this stuff in your free time, like Matt and I do so much. This is not an invocation of the Insurrection Act. And sort of to zoom way back out so everybody has this in our heads correctly together, the rule is you don't get to use the military against its citizenry. That's basically the rule in every democracy that you can find. There will be exceptions to that, but they are extremely narrowly drawn, and they have been used less than, it would take less than two hands to put together the number of times that they've been used. And the reason for that should be intuitively obvious and simple. If you think about all coup d'etats, all authoritarian regimes, all dictatorships, the key to actually taking over what was once a functioning democracy, the key is control of the military. And if you can convince enough folks that work within the military to follow what many are arguing are unconstitutional orders, and you are able to effectively take over control of at least a substantial portion of the military to, you know, I don't know, suspend elections. To, for example, in response to trumped up threats, pun intended here, right, turn the military against its citizenry that are engaging in protected speech and protest, thereby accelerating conflicts, again, creating fig leaves of excuse to lead all the more quickly to martial law, which then permits you to squelch and shut down all dissension entirely, right? Like, these are the steps. You will never find a dictatorship in history where the dictator does not single-handedly and with no restrictions at all deploy the military to quash political opposition. Like, if there's anything that we all should be like, hey, I think I remember something about that in my civics and or history classes, it's the use of the military to squash all political opposition. It's the rounding up of dissenters. It's the imprisonment of journalists. It's all of that stuff. And when you see the active duty military, a full battalion plus 700 plus Marines being deployed by Pete Hegseth against protesters in LA, we're there. That's what's happening. And I just a bit of context around Mr. Hegseth. Mr. Hegseth has been on the record for years belaboring and railing against military lawyers who talk about the restrictive laws about how engagement in these circumstances occurs. Why is that important here? Because this tiny little provision, this never used provision of US code, limits the use of military only to protect federal personnel or federal property. It is entirely protective. They cannot engage in any law enforcement activity. I want to repeat that. There is a bright line under 10 USC 12406. You can protect stuff, federal stuff, meaning persons and property. You cannot engage in any law enforcement. As soon as they do that, they are well outside of the provisions of this, and you would need to be invoking the Insurrection Act. But what is the point of, again, pouring all these troops onto the streets to confront otherwise peaceful protesters with some one-off bad actors that occur in any sort of protest situation? It is to further incite. It is to bring about clashes with protesters. It is to create violence. It is not to create peace. And I want everyone, again, think one thing. These troops can protect federal property. They cannot engage in law enforcement. That is the distinction. I will also note this. Gavin Newsom and the state of California will be suing to challenge the invocation of this particular U.S. code provision because it also says that, quote, orders for these purposes, these protective purposes, shall be issued through the governors. Shall be issued through the governors. So even in this particular exception to the overarching rule, it has to be coming through the governors. That didn't happen here. Didn't happen at all. And interestingly enough, the very language of the presidential order also has not been followed, okay? This is Donald Trump's order itself. And sorry to get into some of the legal stuff here, Matt, and then I'll stop talking, but it's really important. So there's a provision of the statute that hasn't been complied with. Again, orders for these purposes shall be issued through the governors. Newsom hasn't done that. So what's the basis of this? But the order itself already, and if you're watching on Civic Media's YouTube channel or on Instagram, Facebook, X, etc., I'm holding the order. I read it myself. It says this. This is in Donald Trump's own order from this Saturday. Federalization of the National Guard failed, and this is the analysis here, failed to even comply with the terms of the presidential order, which, quote, directs and delegates actions as necessary for the Secretary of Defense to coordinate with the governors of the states and the National Guard Bureau in identifying and ordering into federal service the appropriate members and units of the National Guard under this authority. No such coordination has occurred. Now, here is the really scary thing, ladies and gentlemen, and this is what Bill Kristof pointed out. This order issued by the President of the United States in response to nearly entirely peaceful protests that LAPD had well in hand. Los Angeles and California aren't mentioned once in the presidential directive, not once. It is no way limited in time, in space, in geography. It is an open-ended authorization, and it is not just limited to National Guard troops. It allows the use of any military personnel, not just where protests are currently occurring, but anywhere protests are, quote, likely to occur based on current threat assessments and planned operations. To carry out this mission, the memorandum continues, the deployed military personnel may perform those military protective activities that the Sec Defense determines are reasonably necessary. And the Sec Defense must consult with the Attorney General and the Secretary of Homeland Security prior to withdrawing any personnel from any location to which they are sent. So to recap, President Donald Trump, without consulting any governor, as is required under the federal law that he's invoking, has sent armed forces to the city streets of Los Angeles. The Secretary of Defense, by that order, is now imbued with unilateral authority to send any members of the entirety of the U.S. military anywhere in this nation for basically any purpose he sees fit to deploy them to face off against citizenry. And before those troops are removed from your hometown, from your city, from Milwaukee, from Los Angeles, Philly, Chicago, or Atlanta, Georgia, he's got to get permission of both the AG and the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security. I'll take a breath now, Matt, but what we are talking about is so breathtaking in scope and in potential impact, it really boggles the mind and stirs the soul in a way that I haven't felt quite this afraid. My mom's she's 80 some years old. She's planning on going to the No More Kings rally on the 14th. I'm going to be like, Ma, turn on your GoPro and make sure that you comply. I'm complying, Mom, is the line, and put your hands up.
Yeah, I mean, I have Trump's order right here in front of me as well, Maggie, and the last sentence that I'm reading is, the Secretary of Defense may employ any other members of the regular armed forces as necessary to augment and support the protection of federal functions and property in any number determined appropriate in his discretion. That gives Hegseth just unilateral discretion. I'm sure he'll be asking the boss about, how many Marines to bring in. We got Marines going to L.A. right now. And you're right. There is no limit on geography at locations where protests against these functions are occurring or are likely to occur. Could be anywhere in the United States.
It's truly frightening. Folks, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Kurt, we had to rush you, sir. I know you're a vet, and I wanted to give you another chance to express what your concerns were. As someone who understands and has been instructed about, what do you do if you're given an unlawful order by a superior officer?
Yeah, thank you very much. I mean, I got to preface that I served in the 80s. Unless the military code of conduct is radically changed since I was served in the Army, which I don't think it has, the rule still stands. And given everything that you laid out, Maggie, there's one thing I need to point out. The United States military is not like any other military in the world. You can talk about other democracies and how they use the military to take over, but I'm typically a pessimist. But in this case, I'm an optimist. I guarantee you those Marines are looking at each other thinking, just what the hell is going on here? What are we going to do? Because they already know, at least most of them that, aren't rogue, they already know they're stepping into that zone. The classes were very specific. We were tested on it. They created all sorts of scenarios. And you had to determine whether or not it was a lawful order or unlawful order. I'm telling you, this is going to divide the military. We're going to see what's going to happen, I guess. But that's...
Folks, that's Kurt from Madison. Thanks so much, Kurt, for sharing your experience. My fear is that his intention is to divide the military and to end up potentially with a puppet army. Stay tuned. We continue to discuss with Matt Rothschild. My name is Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In discussions over the so-called Big Beautiful Bill, backed by Donald Trump, that's making its way through Congress, none other than Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has emerged as the most prominent Republican critic of the bill, saying at a recent Milwaukee Press Club event that it is, quote, not even close to adequate. Johnson has said he wants spending cuts to go even further, including making cuts to Medicaid. But Johnson's position as a critic of this bill makes him especially influential in these negotiations. But let's not forget the last time he was in a similar position. In 2017, he was a critic of the Trump tax cut bill, but what he fought for was a tax break for certain types of businesses, perhaps not coincidentally, businesses owned by his largest donors, Dick and Liz Uihlein. In 2018 alone, the Uihleins received more than $200 million in tax breaks because of this bill. So as the Big Beautiful Bill is negotiated in the Senate, let's not forget this piece of recent history.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
All right, time to visit with Melissa Baldoff as we talk climate issues. Acting FEMA chief told staff he didn't know about U.S. hurricane seasons.
What?
Speechless too.
I mean,
I love it. We're all just sitting here like, what?
If it is a joke, and I don't know that it is, it's not a funny one. We've seen more deadly hurricanes, so we have every reason to expect it will be a bad hurricane season.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Are we about to cross the Rubicon in both a literal and figurative sense? My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I got Matt Rothschild with me as a guest co-host. You can find Matt here with me every Monday and also on his fine podcast, Wisconsin Forward, everywhere you get your podcasts, including at the Civic Media website. We're talking today about Donald Trump's attempt to now weaponize the military against those that wish to criticize him. That's the question. And we should all be extraordinarily concerned about this. In the past, every single invocation or use of the National Guard or any military to help address domestic civil unrest have had the following characteristics: either a request by a governor to do so, and or a specified geographic area and a time frame, a limiting time frame. This was part of what happened back following Brown v. Board of Education, when Southern governors refused to desegregate schools. The National Guard was brought in there, in essence, to effectuate a federal court ruling. Okay, but that was for a specific purpose, limited in its scope by that specific purpose. What you see here, ladies and gentlemen, is something so far beyond that that it should strike fear in the hearts of every American of good faith, no matter who you may have cast a ballot for in November. This ain't about Democrats and Republicans. These are about basic rights and the idea that we do not want our military personnel distracted and deployed to do things that they never signed up to do. Nobody that I know that is a Marine, and I know plenty in both the Marines and National Guard, are like, you know what I want to do is really bust some protesters' heads. Now, we had a great call from Kurt beforehand, raising the possibility, at least in some ways, shapes, and form, that first, we should have some faith in our good Marines. They understand their oath. But that raised the second possibility in my mind, that is Donald Trump perhaps trying to actually fracture the armed services and create a shadow army, which is a precondition, a condition precedent, a necessary but not sufficient characteristic of all dictatorships, that they seize control at least of a large portion of the military and therefore use the military to quell all political opposition in their country. Matt, your reactions to Kurt's comments.
Yeah, he's optimistic. I'm kind of pessimistic because I think Trump will find enough people in the military to salute and jump and say how high. And, you know, as Jacob, our producer, points out, there are thousands who were discharged for not getting vaccinated that Trump brought back. There are a lot of Trump loyalists in the military. And so he'll have enough people who will follow the orders. I'm sure there are soldiers and Marines of high moral standing who might refuse and pay a price for that, but there will be enough in the chain of command who will follow him. And so we're in the situation where the president has taken control of the military as his own private army, as it was, and he's putting them in the streets of L.A. today.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, this is what martial law is all about. And you know, people thought, you know, this is people crying wolf when we were warning people that Trump might bring about martial law. But here we are, friends. And the response has got to be to protest nonviolently. Nonviolent protest is the moral thing to do, and it is the pragmatic thing to do, because if there are violent actors out there, Trump is going to seize on it again. So please protest, protest in support of the folks in L.A., in support of immigrants who are being horribly abused by ICE and by Trump, and protest on Saturday.
But do so
legally.
These
No Kings protests, but absolutely protest nonviolently.
Protest nonviolently, protest legally, do follow law enforcement's orders. I have to say this very clearly. I understand that nonviolent civil unrest is a method of bringing about social change, but I would be remiss if I didn't tell people, listen, if you're out there protesting, please follow law enforcement's directions. If they tell you this is a no protest zone, fall back. A reporter from Australia's News 9 was hit with rubber bullets. There have been other reports of others getting sucked up into some of the altercations and clashes. Listen, Donald Trump, Stephen Miller, and the MAGA regime are gleeful at the prospect that people will engage in violent clashes with the military or with law enforcement. They want that. Don't give them what they want. Stand down. I am complying. Put your hands up. And we need to carry not just flags of Mexico, but flags of the United States. We are all patriots in this fight to save our democracy. Don't cede that territory to the MAGA regime. Gavin Newsom's office trying to push back on the idea that Marines are being, quote, deployed. They are being assembled and moved from one base to another. Deployment is different. Earlier reports used the word deployed and made that distinction. Again, those earlier reports were from ABC at my last read. Again, Newsom criticizing it as unnecessary, unwarranted, uncalled for, and unprecedented. let's go to the phones. Dale from Wausau, what you got for us?
Yeah, thanks, Maggie and Matt. In L.A., in regard to the protesters, law enforcement should find out who these people are that are acting with violence and property damage, and I bet they are outside agitators and part of the 1,600 that were pardoned by Trump from the insurrection that we all know about at the U.S. Capitol. Your thoughts?
Dale, that's a scary prospect, seeding bad actors into otherwise peaceful protests to create an excuse for a military crackdown is not where I want to be as a country. God, let's hope not. I do have to say this. Anytime we're looking at military interacting with regular citizenry, it should only be in the most extreme and extraordinary circumstances. That is not what we have here. Protesting is an inalienable right of every American, and we should react accordingly. Please be peaceful. We've got a great expert guest coming up who's going to help us understand immigration law. Keep it locked. Matt and I will be back with more.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. California has sued the Trump administration after the state's National Guard was deployed to confront protesters in Los Angeles, and 700 Marines have now been activated. President Trump, though, says it's all the right move based on what he has been seeing.
I think it would have been a very bad situation. It was heading in the wrong direction.
Trade talks between the U.S. and China will move into a second day tomorrow in London. It remains unclear exactly what the negotiators put on the table. White House National Economic Council Director Kevin Hassett.
The purpose of the meeting today is to make sure that they're serious, but to literally get handshakes and get this thing behind us.
Sly Stone has died.
It's a family affair.
It's a family affair.
It's a family affair.
He was the funk music pioneer and frontman of Sly and the Family Stone. His family says he died peacefully after a prolonged battle with COPD and other underlying health issues. Sly Stone was 82. CBS News Brief, I'm Matt Piper.